This meeting is now being recorded.
It is not the subject of the So that is why, you see, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. This word, power, came out of the mouth of God. So Master said, there is God, who is the maker of all creation, universe, who is the controller of our universe and permeating all this. What is all this? Is all manifestation of God. When we begin to see our own self and our inner eyes opened. And who can open our inner eye? Some word made flesh. Who can light a candle? A candle is already lit. So, scientists first gave out this world is the action reaction of matter. Ultimately they have come out to say that this power is controlled by a power, this whole creation which is conscious. We are not going to believe there is one power which creates all these things. So the world is all in manifestation before us. There is no place where it is not. Why can't you see him? The question arises. He is subtlest of the subtlest. If you see through a microscope, what you find? In the air it now appears to be nothing. When you see through a microscope, that magnifies anything 700 times more. If you see it too, then you find that all this atmosphere is full of insects, microbes. Now, what happens is, if one eye comes to that level, on that is magnified, on that magnified to come to our level of eye, we will be able to see. So these eyes of flesh and bone cannot see. When you rise above physical body, you begin to see. If man, in man body only we can know God, it is a golden opportunity in which we can know God. In no other body. Tulsi says, while God is with us in the body, we see Him not. Then he says, fire on a lifeless life like that. Oh, to see every man in dark blind. So in man body, that's the highest aim before us, what to know God. And also what? Whatever seeds we have sown, karmic, that are to be paid off. How? By coming in contact with him, seeing that he is the doer, I am not the doer. If that is so, who is to bear the reaping of the seeds we have already sown? Nobody. So Kavir says the entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. He says, I see all around, all are bright. The word blind in the terminology of the saints means not that man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner single eye is not open to see the light of God. How that is opened by the world-made flesh masses? They just withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye, when it is there, the single eye is open. You begin to see the light. Before going to such a master, we are blind. In the terminology of the saints, we are deaf. But when he gives us a sitting to withdraw our attention from all outside, we begin to see and begin to hear. So there are two kinds of worship. One is worship done at the level of senses. They are all called exotic, all called apra, which are done at the level of the outer faculties, mind or intellect. They are good actions, but that will give you good results because they are done in the name of God. But you are didua, so you will have to read what you have sown. Coming and going is not ended. When your inner eyes open, you see He is the power, He is the creator, He is the permeating all creation. He is controlling us in the body. We are not the doer. Then our ego is lost. We? Who will bear the, reap the fruits that have, seeds that you have sown? Nobody. So that ends coming and going. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened one, all are blind. In that sense, you know, we are all blind. Very sweeping remark it is, of course. But is it not right? What Christ says, I have come to make those people see who do not see. What does he mean by that? And those who see, they may be blind. It's the same thing. We see, I am looking at you, because my attention is there. If my attention is down from there, nobody would not see. On the back, I cannot see. So it is the soul that has to know the over-soul. The eyes of flesh and bone see him not, but the Master illumines the eyes in him. Open that eye. A worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God within himself. That is function of the Master. Give you something to start. And how? By withdrawing your attention from all outside, bring you to the level of the eyes, where they symbolize the third eye, our latent eyes open. Now reason of there, why can't we see him? Because enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds, not less dark. Without a Master, none has found the way, nor one can go. The reason why? Because our whole attention identified with outward faculties and mind, world, body and world. Unless that will be drawn from there, then the eyes, inner eyes open, then we see that we come to that level. As I gave you the example of microscope, we become subtle, we begin to see the subtle form. That is why, unless when one comes across a perfect Master, he begins to see and begins to hear. So this is sad, when man came to the world, God put seals on his eyes and on his ears. And when we are after other children, when we are in unhappy state, he sends men, which are made flesh, world made flesh. They come to open the seals from the eyes and from the ear. They begin to hear, begin to see and begin to hear. So they open the eye where? Within the closet of the man body. But we draw your attention from outside and from the body below also. So body is verily the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost dwells in it. That is why Emerson said, tapping inside. Tap inside. Tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. We want to see the mark by President Truman. It was into his foxhole that he appeared whenever he wanted peace and relaxation from the high offices. That is receding within you. And they are complete. Their soul is revived with higher content. So Veda are called as Abramrudra. Fox of the hole in the brain are Abramrudra. Perception, intention, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent. Understanding, not seeing. At the level of intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye of this intellect and ignorance, is little known to the people at all. That eye is within us. That is called by the rishis at the third eye, at the Shiva Netra, at the Devaki cube, and Christ separate as single eye. Mohammed Nukhla is called a Chashma Bhattam, inner eye. You follow? Total one. Those who have realized it, they gave out the same thing in the East or the West. That makes no difference. So we'll have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, shivness, the single eye. That's how we can see. God said there be light and there was light. You read in Genesis? And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the light is the life of man. Among the Hindus there is a custom when a man going to die, they light a candle, put on the palm of the head. And the mantra that is said, that is in Sanskrit, that means this light will guide you here and hereafter. The hand that you can do both remain, which is that light, which is within you. That can be seen when your attention will draw from all outside and your inner eyes open. So all scriptures describes rays of light vibrating, the music of life emanating from the formless absolute existence. When we came to manage the world in its variegated colors and counter shapes. So this pervades all four grand religions of the world. Kabir says, I went to the pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way, God met me and began to fight with me, rebuked me. Who told you I'm here? I'm in you. You see? I'm the very life of your life. So the point is, I think master is off. Have you seen God? Guru Nanak says, yes, I've seen him. He's manifested. He does not give any reason, because he sees and maker sees. Christ was out. He said, behold the Lord. He never gave any reason for that. If we are not trying to let you know from the level of intellect, Kabir said, I was in doubt when I saw him within, now I'm fully confident he is. So Mahasa, when they come, you see, they are, the message that they bring is that there is God. They have seen. And you can also see with your guidance. But whose God is? The God in him. Is the word made right. God alone can afford your contact with God. Nobody else. So we respect that man body, you see, which is manifest and can do us that grace. So Guru Nanak was asked with what eyes you have seen. He said, those eyes are different with which he can be seen, not the eyes of flesh or bone. Mohammed Prasad said that is the inner eye. So outer expressions of God into expression in light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, with the Devaki cube, with the Shiva Netra, third eye. Samastam rays. He said, what is this? He said, we should be able to see God with our own eyes. How can we convince if there is God if we don't see our own self? We should be able to hear His voice with our own ears. And how that eye and ear is open, he says, close your eyes, you see darkness. Just penetrate into the darkness, and you find that. This is sort of giving a boost. Tulsi also said the same thing. The dogma within you, just look into the, through the eyes beyond. That explains. But he said, how can you can look through the dogma beyond? That's the favor of Samad. The Godness. So Mahārāṁ says, as long as you do not rise above this senses, life of senses, the world beyond is stranger to us. So all these things you find, unless our inner eyes open to see here, we cannot be convinced. At the time of initiation, something is going to start. Some more other flesh. That capital that you can start and dwell from day to day. Every saint has this path in his future. Take the example of a pond of water that is covered with wheat. You take out wheat one by one, little by little. Take out all wheat and there are no ripples in the water. You can see your face. So first, this wheat is what? This physical body. This delusion starts on the man body. When you rise above it, this is taking out the wheat. If you still the mind for a while, you see the light. Very practical question. So all the delusion starts on the man body. Body is made of matter. Matter is changing at every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter, that is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identifying with the body, whole thing appears to be stationary. It's an optical illusion. So first, how to take out the wheat from the world, pound it, rise above physical body. You can rise above your own self, very good. What more is wanted? A vagrant want to rise to see. If not, the word made flesh will give you little attention and you rise above and you see for your own self there is light within you. So there are three things, Kabir says. Oh man, you are considered the highest in all the age, all creation. All have been created to serve you. If you have not seen God, on what account you boast? Your greatness is only there, why angels are asked to bow down to you. Because in man body only you can see God. And you have not seen God, then why you boast, you are the highest of all things. So I say it is a matter of not only saying words. God is there, God is great, God is high, God is right, God is that. This alone won't do. Unless you see for yourself, don't believe. One is seeing, then believing. And for that, what all masters prescribe, man know thyself. How to know yourself? We know only at the level of feelings or dry influences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. The seeing rises only when you rise above body consciousness. And how to rise above body consciousness? You can do of your own self and in good. If not, with a little way up from a world made flesh, that you may say hundreds, that you all have some experience. So if you do it accurately, with little heart behind, then you see more or less light. So there are three things required. One, a master who is word made flesh. Teachers are required in every phase of life. When child born, parents are the teachers, brothers, sisters. In school, they are teachers. In out of all subjects which you make to conversion with that, you need somebody who is expert that way. These are required in all subjects relating to our own faculty, mind and intellect. and the submit what is before us is to know God. With all world's philosophies and their religion starts. Religion means reams back, eager to bind. To bind back our soul to God. With all intellect out of understanding, ceases. Is there nobody required for that? Naturally. Who can you give a way up? How to rise up a body? First thing. And then open the inner eye and you testify that God. And what further thing is required? What the Master wants us to do to have true living, ethical life, is stepping down to spirituality. Honest on all that that does not dwell passions in us. Because we have to control passion, for that reason we have to restrict ourselves to strict vegetarian diet which is pacifying, flare our passion. And further, such a master never engages you in the practices which relate to outgoing faculty, mind and intellect. As I submitted before, there are two kinds of worship. One is called exotic side, the other is called esoteric side. One is called apra, the other is called para. One is ilmesina, the other is ilmesafina. So Master gives you the inner way, which you want to follow. The religions came into being only when the Master left the earth plane to keep their teaching alive. The labels of which we are not carrying. Some Christians, some Hindus, some Sikhs, some Mohammedans, some Jews. So basically it is inner way the same. So they give you, don't give you anything of the exotic side. They say already main way you are, but rise above body consciousness. Your ABC of the inner way will start when you rise above body consciousness. You follow me? They say all the world is here. Manifestation of God. Where is God? Where is not? They are very conscious that they see God all around. Guru Nanak went to Mecca. He was lying at night with his feet towards Mecca, house of God. The servants over there rebuked Nanak. What are you doing? You're lying with your feet towards the house of God. He politely answered, well, dear friend, I see God all around. Wherever you think God is night, you may touch not my feet towards that. A fish inquires, where is the water? The fish lives in the water. His life is very water. And still inquires, where is the water? It is something like that, like us. So Master said that all manifestation is the all God. And they see, they have seen God within this man body also, with the two temples of God. In which the light of God it can be seen when our single eye is open, third eye is open. We can hear the voice of God, the music of the ears when we rise above physical body. So true temple of God is the man body in which light is lit and music of the ears is reverberating. And in all creation, that the controlling power, keeping all control, creation or control or permeating our control, that is also keeping us in the body too. It's a wonderful house we live in. You see? It has got 9 doors. But we cannot run out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That is the power which controls our universe and controlling us in the power, the very God into expression power, the outer expression of which are two, light and sun. When you enter this man body, the temple of God, true temple of God, by tapping inside, by rising above body consciousness, Then your eyes open, you see the light is there. Outer models are made after the model of man's body. Allah says, there is Muhammad is saying too, Quran, or the Muhammad also says so, God is everywhere. He says, my followers, whenever the time of prayer comes, they should sit down on the earth. All earth is holy. All is holy where devotion kneels. There is no question east and west. In the Quran says that God is everywhere. Whenever the time of prayer comes, sit down, let them just. He is omniscient. He knows where. He reads our hearts. You are sitting that way or that way. So this is the fate awaiting us, but first we have to see the temple of God, rise above it and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you see here, then you see all world outside like that. The question arises, can we see God? Have we seen God? The Master says, yes, we have seen God in this very man body. Then why don't we see? See, because mind stands between and God within you. So first thing remains how to control the body, how to control the mind. Mind is, you see, very fond of enjoyment. Outer enjoyments can be divided into good scenery, good beauty. You see, and you are attracted. Good music, you hear. Your attention will be drawn there. So that one thing, God has given that thing within us. And what is that? That is God into Krishna power, which are two aspects, light and sound. That is more enchanting, more bliss-giving. Once the mind has a taste of that, it leaves all out of enjoyment. That is the water of life within each man. That is the bread of life. You give food to the body. Your body becomes strong. You read and write other things and you give food to the intellect. You become intellectually strong. What food you have given to the soul? Soul is a conscious entity. The bread of life must be conscious. That's the only way you come in contact with God into His special power which is light and sound. So, Guru's questions, what is that way in which we can know God? He said, first thing requires such a master who has seen God. He says, the Gita, Krishna also says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Those who have not seen God, how can you make see God? Christ and our Master, Guru word means who can remove the veil of darkness from within you and give you some light. Who can open your third eye, single eye. So such like Master, few, have been few, and even now they are few, world is not without them. He said, then what is the need? First need is what? Meet some Master. The masters are also, you see, everybody called the master nowadays. This macrocosm and the microcosm of the man body. In the macrocosm we have got three planes, physical, astral and causal. God has given us three bodies and we are working in the physical plane with physical body. At the time it is now down. We have got astral body to work through the astral plane. Then we got the causal body to work with the causal plane. When we rise beyond it into the super causal and the pure spiritual plane, such a master is required to go the highest of all spiritual planes. So whatever degree of the teacher you meet, if you go to the first plane, things can take you to the first plane. If you go to the second, after the second, third, you cannot take you beyond. So such a master is required who goes beyond and also take you beyond. What is the criterion? First, who can open our eye to see the light of God. Not by visualization, not by premeditation, mind that. by simply removing the dogma from within you, give a way up and you see light. Such a first required. This is what Kabir was saying. First required means Guru, Master. Who has seen God? Who can make us see? So I said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. So what sort of teaching they give? They give us a teaching not exotic but the esoteric side. He says, where's the God? God is in the very core of your heart. He is the soul of the soul. He is the controlling power keeping you in the body. Otherwise you could have run away through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose. So such a master required who goes to the higher. This is the first step. Who takes the weed from the pond, brings you up the physical body. Then with the mind little still, you see the light. So, what we are in a grand delusion. What delusion is there, as I just submitted? The body is changing, made of being made of matter, and the world around us made of matter is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing, and we are identified with it. This delusion starts from the man body. We are the indweller of the man body, we now look on the level of the man body. As two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it, we think ourselves, we are stationary. When you rise above body body, consciousness, you see the world going the right perspective, you see. Fine. To all of you, this grand belief, the learned and the unlearned both, how can you find way up? It is only when you know yourself. Knowing oneself not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, it is actually by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself and knowing God, the controlling power. You can see, find Him at the time of death, when you leave your body, there's some power in controlling you. Even now, when you rise out of physical mind, you see some power in controlling you. So, Master tells us, strange now, whom we are to find in man body, the golden opportunity which has been afforded to you, in which we can see God, meet God. He also resides in man body, the controlling power, keeping us in the body, and we also reside in the body. Body works as long as we are in the body, and body, we are in the body as long as that power controls us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Strange enough, we both live in the same temples but do not talk to him. Why? Because attention which is the outward expression of our soul is identified with the world outside. Unless that will be done from there, we come to our own self, to our own selves at the back of the eyes, then we'll see. I'm looking at you, not behind.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. Supporting our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Yes, good morning, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. This Master's Satsang this morning will be from Morning Talks, Chapters 23, How Devotion to God Bears Fruit, and Chapter 24, The True Service of God or God and Man. And we'll begin with Master's Invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, Bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord. And strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. Morning Talks, Chapter 23, How Devotion to God Bears Fruit. How can our devotion to God or the God in man bear fruit? First of all, we should earn our livelihood by the sweat of our brow and by honest means. We should not squeeze the blood of others knowingly or unknowingly. All of our actions should be above board, in which nobody's blood is squeezed. You should earn your livelihood honestly, maintain yourself and your family, and at the same time share with others. Some part of your earnings must be given away for the good of others. History shows that 1/10 of their income used to be given away by the old Christians, Hindus, and others. Why? Because some part of our income might be due to our not having done our duty very honestly, even for half an hour or 10 minutes. Suppose, for example, you are paid for 6 hours' work and you have not put in a full 6 hours for the job, but have wasted half an hour. So whatever you have been paid for in that half an hour is not yours. It has not been earned by you. This has been the custom of all masters. Guru Nanak was once invited by a ruler of his time to a big feast in which all sorts of dishes were served. He did not attend the feast, but instead went to stay with some poor fellow, Lalo, by name, who was a carpenter and worked very hard to maintain himself. So Guru Nanak remained with him and ate his bread. The next morning, the ruler came to know that although Guru Nanak had come, he did not join the feasting. He sent for Guru Nanak and said, Well, Nanak, you did not join my feast. Why? Guru Nanak replied, I came, of course, but did not join your feast because it was served by squeezing the blood of others. I could not suck the blood of others, and that is why I did not come. The ruler was enraged. Masters are not afraid to tell the truth in order to bring home to us what it is that we are doing. So the ruler demanded a proof from Guru Nanak that what he said was true. All right, said Guru Nanak. Guru Nanak said, bring me some of the dishes that were served at your feast. The ruler had them brought, and at the same time, Guru Nanak sent for the bread that he had eaten at Lalo's home. He put his left hand into the dishes served at the feast, and his right hand into the bread brought from Lalo's home. He then squeezed both of them. The result was drops of milk fell from the bread brought from Lalo's home and from the dishes served at the ruler's feast. There fell drops of blood. So if you want progress in your devotion to God, always earn your livelihood honestly. Our master used to visit one Baba Khan at Peshawar. I was then in my school life, and I also used to go to him. Baba Khan once went to our master's office and said, what are you doing? The master said jokingly, well, I am just preparing a bill. For how much? for 4,000 rupees. Give it to me, said Baba Khan. I will give you 2,000 if you like, replied the master. As it so happened, a war occurred in that area, and our master was detailed for duty. After a few months, he had earned about 2,000 rupees. The master then thought that he should go and visit Baba Kawan. Previously, he used to offer him 10 rupees, but this time Baba Kawan said, well, look here, I want 20 rupees this time. The master said to him, what, are you becoming greedy? Not the least, said Baba Kawan. I want the extra so that the poison may be taken away from your earnings. Before you earned less, and I took 10 rupees, which was given away to the poor. I want 20 rupees now only for the reason that you have got more money. Let it be shared with others. You follow me? So the first thing required is that the source from which your earnings is derived must be an honest one. If it comes from a source whereby somebody's blood is squeezed, how can you think that your mind will be pure? You must live on your honest earnings. The second thing is that love knows no burden. Devotion to God does not mean procrastination. The lover of God works harder than other people because love knows no burden. Out of love, he serves everybody. He does not become tired. Generally, when people sit for devotion, they sit for purposes of show and then say to themselves, oh, I am so tired, let me lie down. Well, what's the good of it? This is show, you see? If somebody gives you even a glass of milk, he sends a debit to you, and whether you have got money in your bank or not, you will become bankrupt. So be careful not to squeeze the blood of others. Your livelihood should be earned by the sweat of your brow. This is one thing if you want to be successful in your devotion to the God and man, or God. Further, anything which helps you to have sweet remembrance of God is a true ritual to be followed. If you go anywhere where you forget God, that place should be avoided. Just have a society or such like ritual in which the remembrance of God is boosted. Love knows no show. Love knows no burden. Love would not like to squeeze the blood of anybody. This is the stage to be reached in order to be successful in your devotion to God. Generally, people don't care for these things. So first you must be active. You must stand on your own legs. Earn your livelihood by honest means. Maintain yourself and your family, and also share with others who are needy, naked, or hungry. Generally, it has been the custom in all nations to give one-tenth of one's earnings. Secondly, if you love God, you must have love for all, as God resides in every heart. All are the children of God. These are the two things required in the way of devotion to God, which will give you success. If somebody else is looking after you and serving you, that will be debited against you. You will become bankrupt. If you have got money in your bank, that's all right. Otherwise, it will go against you. So first of all, to be successful in the worship of God, you must earn your livelihood by honest means and by the sweat of your brow, by which you maintain yourself and your family and share with others who are needy, hungry, and naked. The second thing is that you must be active and do such works as will flare up your love for God. All ceremonies, rituals, and other things are blessed if they develop or flare up your love for God. Any action or engagement that causes you to forget God should be avoided. So this is the subject for today. Every day you get something different. These are helping factors for your success in approaching God. If some sincere seeker after truth who was living on the earnings of others came up to our master, he was told to put in 3 hours meditation for himself and 3 hours more for those who served him. Nobody serves without wanting something in return. Excuse me. Nobody serves you without wanting something in return. So our master asked those who were served by others to put in double the time for their meditations to be successful in the way to reach God. One man came here this morning. He happens to be a temple priest and asked me how he should maintain himself. I asked him, well, you get some pay? Yes, the man replied, but not too much. I said, well, if you do some work for somebody, you're entitled to be to the pay, but don't live on offerings. If somebody offers something to God or to a temple, they want something in return. If you live on these offerings, they will be debited against you. So be very careful how you live. Even if nobody else sees what you do, he sees. You have to account for all your actions. If you follow what has been explained to you today and put in regular time to your spiritual practices, you will succeed. Chapter 24 in Morning Talks, The True Service of God or God in Man. I was just explaining about who is in a position to serve God or the God in man. It is he on whom God sheds his grace. Nobody else can do his service otherwise. What is the criterion of one who serves God or the God in man? Those whom he wants to serve him are brought nearer to him, either in his mission or to his home and in other affairs. One is attuned with the nam or word power only when God wishes it. It is given through the human body in which God is manifested. The manifested God in him gives a contact with the word or nam to others. It is the nam or word which is the controlling power within us. It is through the grace of God alone that one is initiated. The very fact that a man is initiated means that God has shed his grace and wants his children to come to him. For this purpose, he gives a contact through some human body in which he is manifest. The greatest service is to attune yourself to the non-power within you, which is the light and sound principle. This is the way back to God, absolute God. Now the question arises, what about those who are taken in direct service under him, either to carry out the work of his mission or at his home? It is the God in him who selects, not the Son of Man. Those who are selected to work in his mission are selected by his grace. It is not everybody who is selected to work in his mission or who are brought into closer contact with him. When God wants somebody to come nearer to him, he places that person in a position where he can be, where he can serve God direct, either at his home or in his mission. This is his grace. So only he can serve God or the God in man whom God himself wishes. The criterion is that first he is given nam or initiation. Those who are given initiation are given it because God wishes to bring them closer to him, first in soul, then outwardly. For that, the Master says that we must put in time for meditation as much as we can so that we may benefit from his inner radiant form, talk to him heart to heart, and get his guidance direct. This is one aspect. The other aspect is that outer service is also given to those selected by him. They are given some work to do in his mission. Others are brought still closer to carry on other work under his direct supervision. It is all his grace that induces one to come nearer to him. Those who have been selected for that purpose are most fortunate. Sometimes we are selected for a certain purpose and we think that we are the master of the service that is given to us. The little ego within us naturally asserts, this is not service. The service of the master is to carry out the work as the master wishes it. That alone can be called a service with which the master is pleased, all others not. Those who are brought nearer to the master in one way or the other, their ego asserts itself. They say, I am carrying on this or that thing. That assertion causes the person affected to have a lack of sweetness in all his affairs. He will assert. He will command. He does not consider himself to be a puppet in the hands of the master. There should be selfless service always. So those who have been selected for the service of the master in one way or the other, to carry on his work here or anywhere under his direct supervision, are most fortunate. Some people are selected to work quite close to him. This is his grace, coming from the God in him. People can only serve God or the God in man whom God wishes. Those who are selected are the object of special grace from God. But what do? We sometimes take it up as a business. We expect compensation in one way or the other. Our master used to compare those who came from afar to stay for a while to a calf that, I'll begin again. Our master used to compare those who came from afar to stay for a while to a calf that, when it came to the cow, took only her milk. Whereas those who are always near to the master are compared to the ticks which just suck the blood of the udder, but don't take the milk. If we want to serve God or the God in man, it can be done only through his grace, and if he wishes it, nobody else can do it. If one has been selected to work for the master, it is God's grace. When you are selected for one purpose, then do it joyously, quietly, lovingly, selflessly. Thank God that you have been selected for that job, that you have been included in the arrangement to carry on his work. It is his grace. You should be true to the Master within you. When you see that he is within you, you will be afraid to do anything wrong, which is against his wishes, whether you are in his presence or in his absence. If you carry on in that way, you will always be thinking of the Master, and the result will be, as you think, so you become. By and by, you will find that it is he who is working in me and not I. St. Paul said that it is I, not now I, it is Christ that lives in me. This is the ultimate goal. So those who are selected to carry on the work of the service under the Master have God's grace upon them. They should be thankful that they have been given that service. They should carry on selflessly, always thinking that they are serving the God in man because it is he who has selected them for that purpose. The criterion of God, the criterion of service to God or to the God in man is that you have been given initiation, have been brought closer, and have been given some job to do under the Master. This is his special grace, and we should prove worthy of the job and derive full benefit from it. We can only have this by doing our job selflessly as a mere puppet in his hands. Any service done at the will and pleasure of the Master, in which there is no self-assertion, bears forth ample fruit. Those who have been selected for the service under him should be thankful for it. Otherwise, it will be binding, and even if you live near to the Master, you cannot bear forth the full fruit. So today's subject is about those who have been initiated by the God in man through his grace. They should develop what they have been given by observing regular precautions or restrictions so that they may develop within and meet the radiant form of the Master and talk to him heart to heart. This is one aspect. We'll continue next time at that point. And in closing, Master says, each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 80 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. Now please hang up your phone.